Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
All right, now do y'all see anything different about my image today? What's wrong with my tie? What if my stomach's just too big? Now, what is unusual about that? I know a lot of y'all see this a lot and wear them this way, maybe. But, you know what? I'm like Abbott and Costello. I keep doing this like I got to get it to go down or something, you know. I mean, why have I never come out like this before? I mean, why would you not want to walk into some closing like this? Hi! Now, see, I can still do it now, but the real technique is if you're a man, you get your belt down here like this. You get your shirt real tight. Because you want that tie to come off the lip there of your stomach. Now, why would I never wear my... I mean, if somebody has their tie like this and it's a traditional thing in your family, I know some people from Arkansas myself. Now, I cannot even stand to be up here like this, so I'm going to fix this. Now, is image... You know, this is how you tie a tie, girls, right here. Or guys, for that matter, some of you. Of course, it'll be too short. Men do this over two or three times a day. They get it, they tie it, so you do this, and then you look at it and go, you know what, that's not... Women do this with dresses and shoes, and men do it with ties, and they see there, you don't want that to happen right there. That's your second demonstration of what does not work. So we're going to go back at it, so you go a little longer down there, double wrap. This is the free section of our lunch talk here, tie-tying. All right, this one's going to work. You see, I can feel it. See that knot there? I feel it coming. Oh, here it's coming, here it's coming, here it's coming. Is that better? All right. Now, here's my question. What the heck does the length of my tie have to do with my image? Everything. It's these little things. Now, is image, though, really everything? And I've made a list here, and y'all need to help me with this today. I mean, think of the things you do with it. Well, Jody, come up here. Where did Jody go? Did he? Boy, he bolted today, didn't he? Is he even in the room? Get up here. All right. Oh, man.
What's the image?
Boy, you just shot your image up here with a bowl of beans in your hand. All right, now just stand there. You can stand there with your beans. All right. We have Jody in some decent shoes, some khakis. Oh, now look at this. Turn sideways. Now I'm not talking about the stomach. I'm talking about, see that phone? Look at that phone. Now see, that's an image thing. Hey, look at this jacket, shirt, Nokia sugar bowl on his shirt there. All right, now would you say this man is concerned about his image at all? Maybe. And he has an image, right? What do you think Jody's image is?
Come on, Richard.
Well, baby, here we go. Let's go. What do you think? What was it?
Conservative.
Conservative? What else?
Professional.
Sure. How are y'all tying the beans in with this thing? What else? Professional, sharp, conservative, what else?
We just leave it at that.
Yeah. Anything else? Casual. He's saying something here. Now, if he was trying to get a job as an investment banker and went in like this, they might think he's a nice kind of guy, but they wouldn't hire him, what? Based on how he looks. Now, if he went in like this to get a job running a backhoe, they wouldn't hire him either. Why? He's overdressed. So image... in a lot of ways in the world today, really is everything. And I almost came in here in some zip-up coveralls and a cap, you know. And some of you visitors go, what the heck is this? You know, it's construct. Are you finished? Are you breathing deep?
My beans. That's all.
All right. Go eat your bean. Thank you, Jody. So it does matter, right? There are things you think about wearing to the office. Some of you ladies wake up, go to get dressed. Something you might wear to church or to a wedding or a funeral, you'd never wear to the office because you'd walk in and somebody go, well, who does she think she is? You know, you might think you'd be a little overdressed or out of place or something, so you tone it down. Guys are the same way. Some guys, you got to wear a certain thing all week long. If it's casual summer or casual Friday, you come in with something completely different. But we jump through hoops with hair. I mean, why mess with your hair? I mean, I know some people who don't very much. I mean, that's kind of the trend today. You just kind of go. But hair, nails, people go manicures, clothes, cars. I mean, watch a car commercial. It's all image. They are projecting an image. They're saying to you, if you drive this car, you're going to find some hot babe or you're going to find some whatever. And this car is going to do all that. It's going to create an image for you. People do it with jewelry. Set some kind of image or try to prove something to somebody by what they wear or what they have. The house you live in. How many people spend their life trying to get into a certain kind of house in a certain kind of neighborhood with certain kind of neighbors? What? That gives you an image. I am a certain kind of person based on where I live. Now, this one is truer than anybody wants to admit. Your image a lot of times has to do with where you sit in your office. And how many people, men and women, whoever, are clamoring for some corner office with a window and a view? And if you can do your job in the corner office with the view, you somehow are better at what you do than the person who's in the interior catacombs of that building. It's all about image. Now, I was going to go around the room and, like, y'all pick a volunteer from every table and... Yeah. Who said yeah? You did? Come up here. Yeah, teach her to speak up at church. There we go. All right. I could get everybody in the room and come up here, and you'd look at them and go, well, this person's trying to dress down a little bit. Their tie's not flashy. Their, you know, the shoes are conservative. Everybody in here. All of these image things are just that. They are images that people see. They're outside stuff that someone can look at you and size you up just like that. Somebody at Bible study said they went to this big convention of Christian speakers, and they sat about three rows back, places packed, 1,000 people, and all these women, they're going to speak, and the way she described it, I got to get a chair because this was pretty funny. She said all these women were sitting up on the stage like this. They had their legs crossed and their hands like this, you know, just like Chanel suits, just dressed the nines, just pretty happy little ladies, you know, not a problem in the world, and this thing was going to be about suffering or something. And she said she sat there on the third row and watched these women and thought, you know, what the heck are they doing up here? They don't think about suffering. They're all the perfect little, you know, petite little groomed women. Now, she sized them up, but she said when they got up and spoke after they all sat down, she said she realized she didn't know anything about suffering. Sickness, cancer, illness, they may have looked put together, but when they got up to speak, you saw something on the inside. Now, let me tell you the tragedy of this stuff, guys. We every day size people up just like that. One of the things about being a speaker, I can come in here dressed a different way, do different things, and I've done it, and there's people in the room, if it's your first time especially, you go, well, yeah, he wears his hair all slicked back. Who do you think he is? You know, flashy tie, well, he's probably this way or that way, or you look at my shoes, or you hear me talk, or something about me, and you're sitting out there saying, well, he's this way or that way. You don't know me. See, you don't know me any more than you know that person. I got people who live in my neighborhood. They drive, I can name particular people, live right up the way here. They drive, one guy in particular drives a Ferrari. He's got another car. He's got all this stuff. And you go, well, you know, and some people put the big watches on, all the stuff. And you look at them and go, man, they're successful. You know what? Their life may suck worse than anybody's. By the way, that is the first part of the word success. But we look at these people and say, man, they got it made, or they're this way or that way. And it's all based on an image, something you see. But let me tell you something. You don't usually see most people. Now, that girl I described who went to hear all these women speak, she saw them and saw one thing. But when she heard them, she saw a whole different person. Now, I may, in the world today, guys, Madison Avenue commercials, it's all about image. I mean, you even buy cereal based on the way it looks. or what the commercial said. Your kids are buying it. I live in a house, my kids can't read, and we drive down the street and go, Taco Bueno or something, you know. I'm like, how do you know that's Taco Bueno? Or a McDonald's, man, they are working those arches. They can't read, but they have been hit so hard with images and with marketing that they see it, they recognize these logos. Now, we live in a world where that's the way it is. You say, well, I'm not going to live in that world. I'm just going to be myself. You'll never get hired again. You show up in your shorts and t-shirt and say, well, just, you know, you need to hire me on the merits of my resume, and it's all crumpled up. I mean, we jump through hoops about how we look, the way even our resumes are laid out. Now, think about it. Some of you hire people or get in Microsoft Word and that wizard deal, which if you ever figure that out. But you get in there and lay out a resume, have people look at why. So when you walk into a job, you lay a piece of paper down, you look your best, the paper looks its best, you want everything to match so you get hired. Because that person is going to make a judgment a lot of times within 5 seconds of seeing you. Right? We all do it. Now, is image everything? In the world, it probably is a lot of what goes on. But image is everything in the spiritual realm as well. And the tragedy in the world today is that you never get beyond what you see to who the person really is. And we have the surface, and most of this image stuff I'm describing, the car around you, the clothes on you. People do this with the glasses they wear, all this designer stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable the hoops we jump through to set ourselves apart and be something in a lot of ways that we're not. Now, here's what I think is so, and my wife's a dress designer. I mean, I've lived around this, buy fabric, you know, the buttons, everything about it plays a part in what you wear and how you look. But the tragedy is that a lot of people are trying to hide who they really are with some image they project so that you won't see what's really going on inside of them. Now see, unless I get up here and speak and am vulnerable, or unless you sit down with me one-on-one somewhere, you may have an image of who I am and what I'm like and what I think and how I feel, but unless you really get below the surface, you know, there's a lot of things that can contribute to what's really going on. People see who you are, but they never really know who you are unless they get beyond the surface and find out what's going on with you specifically. Now, I want to talk to you today about some of these things in the scripture because it's in here. And by the way, the definition I pulled here of an image, one of them is a popular conception as of a person, institution, or nation projected especially through the mass media. The media has a lot to do with this image thing. But God has something to say about this stuff too, because in the very beginning, Genesis 1:26, then God said he had made everything. He had made the stars, the earth, everything. Then he goes to make man. And he said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God said, we're going to make a man, we're going to make a person, and this creature is going to be unlike anybody else, anything else on the planet. Why? Because it is made in the image of God. There is nobody, no thing, anywhere on the planet that is like man. As hard as people want to tell you that you came from a monkey, if that's what you want to believe, that's fine with me. I didn't come from a monkey. And, you know, you say, well, that's just what I believe. Guys, I believe this. I believe in the beginning God. And I don't think it was some explosion. I think it's an act of God. It's creation. And God said, I'm going to make man. Boom. He makes man and he makes him in his image. Not that we look like God, but there is something inside of us that is intended to be like God and reflect God to people. Now, Adam and Eve had this, and I'm not saying that part of the reason they were naked and unashamed, you saw some of who God was in them. If you met Adam and Eve before they sinned, you would have seen the image of God somehow in them a lot more readily. When they sinned, what happens? Literally, God covers them up. And we've been covering up ever since. We've been hiding behind houses and cars and makeup. And I'm not knocking makeup. I think it's a great thing. I don't wear any anymore personally, but no, I'm just kidding. Don't leave here. I never have worn makeup, okay? Let me repeat that. I have never worn makeup. We've continued to hide behind this stuff, trying to what? Trying to lose or cover up the fact that we've lost this image. We don't know who we are. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what to feel or think. So we try to create who we are by all this image stuff around us. And I'm telling you guys, we jump through more hoops doing this than anybody. We spend a fortune on this. Now, the world starts on the outside and works in. And by the way, religion does the same thing. Religion starts on the outside and says, you clean up your life, you clean up your act, you get all this stuff straight, and then your heart will change, you'll be a different person. That's not what the book says. God changes your heart, restores what He intended for you to have and be, and from there it works inside out. And then your life begins to change. I can look people in the eyes. Try this sometime. Forget what they have on, forget what they're driving, all that. Just look them in the eyes. If you will lock in on people's eyes, you'll tell more about a person. The Bible says the eyes are the windows to the soul. And if you look somebody in the eyes and you look and listen long enough, you know what you'll see? You'll see who they really are. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody and it's like you're talking to them, like you and I are having a conversation, and I'm talking to you and I'm just kind of looking around. I kind of look around a lot and I can't look you in the eyes. I don't want anybody seeing what's missing. How many people are kind of flighty and they're just scared to death? You know, they have their head down. Just don't look me in the eyes. I try to look people in the eyes. And if they can't do that, it tells me something. And when they do or they can, there is a confidence, there is something that no matter what they have around them, you can see through all that and say, you know, something's going on in here. I see joy in people's eyes sometimes that you can't manufacture or build by surrounding yourself with stuff. What is going on the inside? That's what's important. All right, over in the New Testament, and I've got a number of these verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says this, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Now this Jesus thing, and I've only got a second to do this, so let's just listen close. The relationship that God intended with man, Adam and Eve had before they sinned. When they sinned, that relationship was broken. And Jesus, when he came as the Bible describes in 1 Corinthians 15, he came as the second Adam. He came as the last Adam, the second man. That's what it says. The last Adam and the second man. So God said, Adam has set something in motion here that nobody short of myself can fix. So I'll send my son and restore what God intended for Adam in Jesus. So if anybody, the Bible, you read the Bible, it always talks about being in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. What is this in Christ thing about? If any man be in Christ, 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So if you get in Christ or you realize you are in Christ and accept that fact, you receive this gift of eternal life, then you have this potential of being restored to what God originally intended for you to be. Now, is this making sense? What is it about a Christian? I'm not talking about someone who says they're a Christian. I'm talking about someone who is and lives it and believes it, and it's their life. What is it? You look at them, you look them in the eyes, you watch them, you listen to them, you say, there is something different about this person. It's not them you see anymore. It's God in them. It's that image of God that has been restored, and you can't figure it out. Why does the Bible say to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within you? Because sooner or later, somebody's going to see it and ask about it. What's up with you? Somehow in the midst of it, you still have some joy and some peace. How do you do that? They see your life being transformed on a daily basis and they can't figure it out. It's a God thing. There is no other explanation. And God intends for us to reflect His image in our lives, but you cannot do it anymore without Jesus Christ. You don't have it in you. Sin shuts it down. Okay? So when you get right related to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that image is restored, it's brought out, and no matter what you put around you, it's coming through. You cover up a bright light with blankets, whatever you want to, but guys, sooner or later, it's coming through. That light will shine, you can't stop it. It'll burn holes through whatever you try to hide under. And frankly, if the image is there, you stop hiding. You meet somebody who's got peace and joy and a walk and a life with Christ, they stop propping things up around them to hide, or they got nothing to hide. And you start seeing that person. My mentor says to me, he says, Richard, the closer to God you get, the more simple your life will become. The world tries to buy stuff and goes places and do. I'm not against you buying things and going on trips, guys, but let me tell you something. The problem with taking a vacation is when you get there, you're still there. You took you with you. I mean, you think I'm going to take a trip and leave all my problems at home, and you checked your trip and it went with you. I mean, you checked all your stuff. You can't get away from you. The only thing to do is to have somebody change you and to change me. Wherever I go, I don't care. I like being with me because he likes being with me and he likes being in me and living through me, and it's a different life. All right, there's a couple more verses here. I mean, if you want to write these down, 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about this. Colossians 1:12-17 talks about it. But let me talk to you, and this is a number of places in the Bible, about dressing for success. You want to dress for success? Listen to this. Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. It's taking off a garment, putting another one on. You put off this old person you were, this old cover you had, and you put on a new person. That person is Christ in the Bible, and you put him on, and you know what? When you put him on, people start seeing you dressed like him. They start seeing him. I am nothing. I've said this two or three times this week. I am what the moon is to the sun. I am a dead planet. And the only good I do is when I get positioned where the sun can bounce off of me and put some light on you. But without that sun, I'm a dark, dead planet out there in the universe, and you'd never even know I existed. And sometimes our lives eclipse what God's trying to do. We get in the way. We get behind the world, literally. Now think about this. The world gets in the way of the light of Christ reflecting off of us to somebody else. Get the world out of the way. Get where he can bounce from you to someone else. Because when they see his image in you guys, they're not going to worship you. They're going to say, where is this light coming from? Where's the source of this? This can't be in them because I don't have it in me. Where is this coming from? And they start looking for him because they see his reflection in you and off of you. Now that's the goal, guys, that my life would glorify him, that people would see him in me, not me, and I do everything I can not to be a distraction or to impede in any way his light coming in me and through me to touch somebody else. Image is everything in the world, but in the spiritual world it is too. My question is, what image are you putting out there? And what are you hiding? What are you covering up? If you don't have a relationship with God, then say, God, I need this relationship. I need to have whatever he's talking about, whatever he's got, whatever these people I see. There's some hypocrites out there, granted, but God, there's something different in these people that talk about Jesus. And I want whatever it is you intended for me to have with you, I want it personally. And I accept this gift of eternal life. I believe Jesus died for me, was buried and raised from the dead to restore this relationship with you, and I gotta have it, God. And if you are a Christian, get the world out of the way where the light can bounce off of you again and somebody's life be changed.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just a few minutes to stop. And God, I thank you for what you've made possible through Jesus and what sin screwed up. You sent Jesus to satisfy and to offer real success, Lord, and a real change. And I thank you for these people. I thank you for what happens in this room. I thank you for the glimpse that I pray somebody, including me, Lord, get, that if we would just get out of the way and stay out of the way and put the old stuff off and put the new on and make a decision in our lives, in our everyday, to do everything we can to stay out of the way and let you Reflect in and through us, Lord, to a world who desperately needs to know that the kind of image they think is everything is really nothing. And having that image restored inside is everything, and that's what's missing. Thank you for using us, Father, and continue to do so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.